Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I'm asking you to be with us throughout the study this evening. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto this your word, so that we can learn the truth, Father, and have a greater understanding of the word and what you are wanting us to accomplish, Father, as we travel through this life. Now, Father, be with us. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going in now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We just finished up with Timothy. We covered a whole lot of things coming through. Got on the women. Got on the men. A little bit of everything. Now, we're going to pick up here with his second letter to Timothy. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. But you know, Paul's greeting there in those first two verses is basically about normal, because that's usually the way he starts ever. By letting them know who he is, what he is, and how he got to be that. We know that Paul was not an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth. Paul didn't become an apostle until after the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was on his way to Damascus to lock up those that were following the Lord Jesus Christ or having anything to do with it. And he met the Lord on that road. And we all know how that turned out. He ended up being blind 3 days, had to be led on into Damascus, but he was also called into the ministry and called to be the apostle to the Gentile people. Now, as we get into verse 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And you know, I was hit with something today that I had never thought about to the extent that it was given to me by the Spirit. And that is, we do not spend enough time, and most usually what prayer we do spend time in, it's not done completely right. There's a lot of things when we really want to walk close in the kingdom of Almighty God and with the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with his power in our lives so that we can do the things that he calls upon us to do. We need to be praying both in our language, our own language, but also in the Spirit. And we are to pray without ceasing. I've wondered, because I've read that several times in several different places about praying without ceasing. So I wonder, just how can you do that? Well, I found out today how you can do it, because I've spent all afternoon in prayer. And without even thinking about it, because you see, that is the reason we need to be praying in the Spirit. In other words, praying to God in tongues. A lot of people don't believe in that. That's why we have so many churches that are running weak and against the Word of God instead of flowing with it. It's because they don't believe in tongues. Yet we are told, pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. And once you get to praying in the Spirit, you don't know what you're praying for. You don't understand even what you're saying. You see, that is the Spirit that has taken over your prayer and is praying for you. And that's why we pray both with the language, our own, and with the Spirit. And the next thing you know, once you do that for a little while, you can be doing anything else. Not thinking about anything. In fact, I was watching TV and all the time, silently, this prayer is running through my head, my mind. I'm hearing it. And I'm doing it without even thinking about it. Let me tell you something. Put me in places this evening with the Lord that I never thought about really being. We are missing out on so much, all because we will not spend time that we should spend in God's Word, in prayer, with Him. He says here, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul is letting Timothy know that he is always in his prayers. Day and night, Paul is praying with and for him. Four, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy fears, that I may be filled with joy. Five, well, I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Six, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. We know that Timothy was ordained into the ministry by Paul. He was converted under Paul's ministry, and he has traveled and worked with Paul most ever since. That's why Paul is calling him in both letters his son. He's not his biological son. He is his spiritual son because he was converted under Paul's ministry. And Paul ordained him into the ministry and has used him in the work of Almighty God, sending him to places to where Paul at the time wouldn't be going because he was to go somewhere else, so he would send Timothy there. Just like he had sent Timothy to the Ephesians because he was being held in Macedonia. But he's telling Paul exactly to teach, how to teach it, what to turn loose of and what not to turn loose of. And you know, we have been through a lot of things here in Timothy that you could not go to another church and preach. They wouldn't have it. They want no part of it. Think about what we have been through. Now, we know here, now here in 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The mind needs to be pure, and the only way that the mind and this body can walk pure is it's got to be controlled by the heart. You tell somebody about the heart, you tell them, we're going to have prayer, we're going to be praying for your heart, put your hand on your heart, and where do they put it? Upon the chest. But you see, that's not where the heart is. Now, actually, your heart's in your belly. That's why the Lord tells us that there'll be, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there'll be rivers of living water flow from your belly. Because that is the Holy Spirit working, and He is living where? In your heart. These are things we don't really think about. And most of them had never been taught it, because so many today of our churches are not teaching any of this. They leave it strictly alone, just like they did back here a few days back when we were talking about the churches that forbid marriage and to abstain from meat, and we were told to come away from them. Have nothing to do with it. Very few places can you go and teach things like that. They don't want to hear it, because they know that sooner or later, with the truth, you're going to be getting on their toes. They don't want that. I get all over my own toes. I get on my toes more than I do anybody else's. I walk on them good. Now, we're told that He doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and that's so that we can do and accomplish whatever work He calls upon us to do. Just as that lady called me today. I hadn't heard from her in close a year. But with the news she got from her doctor, the Spirit told her to call me for prayer. And she did. We had prayer for her healing to keep her from having to have surgery on the brain. Now, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We're not to be ashamed of this gospel. That's why we are told to stand and speak boldly. Boldly means that we are going to stand and speak the truth of God's word. When we are called into the ministry, I was not called to please mankind. I was called to please the Lord God and to give mankind his word and the truth and the power and the strength of it. And then after he receives that, then that lays between him and Almighty God. I'm not the one to give the increase. I just do what God has me to do. If he has me to pray for healing, I pray for healing. And I see it come about. If he tells me to speak to someone, to warn them about something they're doing that they shouldn't be doing, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And when I get to some place in the scripture that is contrary to the belief of a lot of people, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to tell you what the word of God says and then leave it to you. That's like right now. I'm known here, especially in this county where I live, as being a woman hater. I'm not. I love you ladies. I'd love to have a church full of you. But I'm going to tell you exactly what the word says. And the word said he didn't call you to be a pastor. The word also says that for you to get up and speak in the church is a shame. I'm not going to walk around now. I'm going to let you know. And that's like coming through 1 Timothy. That's where you'll find it about the ladies. There in the second chapter of 1 Timothy. And also you men. He tells you that if you're looking to be a minister of the gospel, you have to be the husband of one wife. You can't have two or three wives because you're living in adultery. That don't work. And you see, people get mad at me. But what they don't know and don't realize is they're really not mad at me. They're mad at the word of Almighty God in him. Because that's what I'm giving you. It's not my opinion. That's why I have, and I tell everyone, if you're going to come to my service, bring your Bible so you can follow me. Well, I want you to see. We know that we walk, supposed to walk, according to the power of Almighty God. 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When you become that child of God, what you don't know and understand is he has a work for you that he had planned before the world was even created. You existed. You see, that part we don't know about. We have no memory of that at all. Think about it. But there it is in his own word. Now, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, that's another thing. When you become that child of God, you're never going to die. One day you're going to move. One day you're going to change bodies. But you, that spirit that is really you, it's not going in the ground. That's why we are told to be absent from the body here. It's to be with him there. And then one day, when he comes back to this earth to set up his millennial kingdom, we're going to be coming with him. Now, you see, 11, he says, whereunto I am appointed preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul is letting Timothy know, and you and I know exactly what he is, and that he was appointed that, and that today, when we become what we would call a pastor of the church or the overseer, we should be ones that are called to that job. If God has not called us to that job, then we don't need to be doing it. That's why our churches are in the condition they're in, and they are accepting all these lies that our government has been telling them and putting out to our people, that there's nothing wrong with you being homosexual. That's just an alternate lifestyle. And most of our churches have accepted that. And they're accepting the idea of our children changing their gender through surgery. And don't even have to have the parents' consent. Well, let me tell you something. I praise God and thank him that my children are grown. But if somebody would have came and took one of them and done that kind of surgery on them, I'd have been in a lot of trouble because I'd have shot him. He wouldn't have done another one that way. I'm being honest. But we need to stand together, all that are the children of God, and we need to be praying for those in our high offices, both in government and churches, to be removed from office and to be replaced by those that are walking in righteousness, that is serving the Lord our God and love him, love Jesus, love the church and his people, and love this country, our government, back on the foundation it was founded. And we all know what that is. I pray about that every service. Now, 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. All right, that persuaded. The perfect tense indicates that I was persuaded in the past and remain so now, that he is able to keep, refers to the assurance of salvation which is committed against that day when we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, there's a lot of things that we really have not been taught nor think about. 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Sound words. He's letting you and I know, as we've been told several times coming through 1 Timothy, that we are to teach and to hold nothing except this doctrine. What doctrine is that? This book. His word. The apostles' doctrine. Their teaching. Because their teaching, it was given to them by God to record so we could have it. And it is all true. And it all works. God don't lie. His word don't lie. It's just a lot of mankind does not want to accept the truth of it. He gets offended. 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. You see, once you have become saved, and as you are growing, when you get to the point that you are strong enough and enough knowledge to be born again, you are filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, we've got churches out there that will take you out here and baptize you. They baptize you wrong, because they baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they tell you that you also received the Holy Spirit right then because you were water baptized. That's not true. You don't find that in the Bible. And we are to be baptized in Jesus' name, not in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was John's baptism under the Mosaic law. And it was right for that day and time, because you was being baptized for repentance. We're not baptized now for repentance. That's not why we get baptized. We are baptized to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You, when you are baptized in Jesus' name, you are being told that as you go under that water, you are putting on his death. You're being buried with him. And as you are raised out, you are being raised in his resurrection. And you are to walk in newness of life. That's why you're baptized. But you still, that usually takes place when you first become a Christian. And most usually you don't have enough of the word to be able to receive it all at once. Out of all the years that God has had me in and out of the churches, working as an evangelist and as a pastor, I only seen one that received everything all at the same time and instantly. And the whole thing was strictly a miracle. And it's the only one I've ever seen that way. And it was a lady, and she was a preacher's wife. And she was at a church where I was holding a revival. And I got home, my phone rang, her husband was on the phone. He told me, he said, my wife said she needs to be rebaptized. I told him, I said, well, get it done. He said, but she wants you to do it. I told him, I said, all right. When? He said, today. I told him, he told me where he lived, so I went to his house. I took her over the creek. Baptized. The creek was running, one of the coldest creeks you ever set a foot in. The way down that creek, it almost take your breath. Oh. And it was running. Birds were singing. Up the road, the motor was running. It was cloudy, no sun out. I told him, I said, I'll go out. You bring her out to me. She walked up to the side of it. When her first foot hit that water, the sun came out, the birds quit singing, that motor quit running. That creek stood still. And where we was at there in that place was just as warm as it could be. I baptized her. She come up shouting. She had it all. He was leading her out. And when her last foot left that water, everything went right back to the way it was. You know, but it's things like that and the power of God at work that lets people know that this word of Almighty God is true. And we need more of the power of God at work in our churches today. Now, and if they'll get into his word, we'll see it. 15. This thou knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermanes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, Onesimus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. These last few verses here was refreshing Timothy's mind about these things, and he's warning him about even these two men that he tells us in other places that he had gave them over to Satan. And that was let me find it here. Virgilius and Hermeneus. He told us over in 1 Timothy that he had turned them over to Satan because they was not living the right way and like they should. And they had turned their back and walked away from Almighty God. All right. We have come to the end now of chapter 1. We will be stopping there for this evening. And I guess everybody that's been listening probably glad of it. They're thinking, oh, he's a long-winded fella. Well, really, you haven't even seen me wound up yet. Wait till I get wound up. You know, I preached one service in a church in Louisville, Kentucky. It lasted 2 hours and 45 minutes. How would you like to sit through that one? Without let up. Wasn't no breaks or nothing. And my first dealing with the book of Hebrews. First message I ever preached out of that was about an hour and a half. You see, you're getting off easy. I've only been speaking now about 45 minutes. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. And Father, we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. Father, I pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, I pray that they'll all, the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the Messiah. And that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. Father, your saints, wherever they are, I ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Father, this land of ours that has all this evil. And as I asked earlier, Father, I ask again that all of your children pray for those evil ones to be removed from office and replace the ones that are yours, that loves you, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that loves the church and your people, and loves this land. And that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back on the foundation it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for each and every one that hears this message and joins with me in these study services to learn your word, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit keep them all in health, keep them all safe, and their families, Father, because we all have family members that are walking in darkness. Holy Spirit, work with them. Help to bring them out of darkness into the light, that light being Jesus. Father, keep us through this night. Bring us together again in the morning at 10 a.m. when we can be back into your word. Father, we love you and praise you. And I give this prayer and this thanks all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good one. Good night, all.